weekly programming, what I was thinking in terms of more substantive, in-depth programming. And I don't want us to go off the call without having Grace give us whatever information you can about the proposed national airing of the Sotomayor hearings. But before that happens, I wanted to go back to the point that David made and to get your thinking, David, on that. Affiliates using, in fact, using AudioPort in the same way that Winter Soldier was produced or the inauguration coverage was produced, so that it's not just taking Pacifica-generated or Pacifica-generated and selected affiliate incorporation, but actually affiliate programming that would be otherwise made available.
I think it happens with the homelessness marathon every year. Pacifica is only a conduit, but it's coordinated by an individual or an affiliate. Pacifica, I would agree with you. It could come from the affiliates.
So that's something that the task force could really focus on, giving greater visibility and marketing of the usefulness of AudioPort for generating that kind of programming.
Yes.
Yeah.
We are going to be covering the Sotomayor hearings, but I know we're going to do it, but I don't know how. I think they're scheduled for July 13th.
Uh-huh.
Or at this time, that's the schedule that I heard today.
Yeah.
For those hearings to begin.
So we'll just basically keep our ear out for information, for notices of it's being covered and how it's going to be, the hours that it's going to be covered.
Probably what we need, we probably need how-to guides that are really simple up on AudioPort. I don't know if they're up there exactly already, but kind of like exactly how to put your shows together so that they can be assimilated easily by AudioPort, and then how to do it in a step-by-step way so that somebody can go to that site, read it, and do it, even with just a rudimentary understanding of the equipment involved. So I think, and the other thing is, having a space on AudioPort for people interested in certain subject areas so that people can network through the site. Because that would seem to be the most logical way to do it. I mean, like, for instance, are you interested in food irradiation? If so, would you like to collaborate on a show? I'm an old anti-nuclear activist, so it comes to mind. Like, for instance, let's say there are five nuclear waste repositories scheduled. So it would be interesting if people from those five different geographical locations in the United States collaborated to put programming together about preventing those waste dumps from happening or something like that. Something that would lend itself to collaboration. I don't know if there's that functionality already on AudioPort, some place for people to kind of meet up.
I'm not aware of it. How about Dave? Are you aware of it?
No, I don't think there is.
Yeah, I don't think so either. So it would be John or Otis that could be asked to do something like that, to create a meet-up space, for lack of a better term?
Would that
or
be
meet-up device?
Would that be something that you affiliates would find useful?
I think so. I mean, we certainly could send out the notice for it. That it exists, and as you say, instructions as to how to use it, which is a big problem, not just with AudioPort, but across the board, is the level of the skill levels that are required to be able to access various tools, and compared with the increasing number of community stations, especially low-power stations, where the skill level is very low, so that it may well be that we need to pay more attention to the instruction and guidance aspects of youth. Because for my station, that would certainly be very good. It means that I'm not the only one that can do it, that there are other people, will be other people in the station, especially new people coming into the station, who are readily able to do that. So I think that's a great point that you've made, observation that you've made, Grace.
Yeah,
would John Almila be able to answer any of these questions?
We want something that we don't wind up further burdening the staff that we already have. You know, if we had...
No, I understand that, but you were asking in terms of making AudioPort more user-friendly. And I don't know if John knows something about AudioPort because he's streaming, so he's listening to the call.
Yeah.
You know,
it'll be
something. I'd be
able to answer
that.
Go ahead, Grace.
Yeah, if you can give suggestions, specific suggestions about how you would, what things could be added to AudioPort to make it more functional for you and help you more, or even new things, like, for instance, tutorials about different aspects of using AudioPort or of uploading or downloading, that would be good. Maybe there needs to be a corner for interesting suggestions. For instance, I talked to a few people here in L.A., and there's recording equipment that's about the size of an iPod that is excellent, records excellently, and you can use it to record things in the community. And I think it costs, they have cheaper versions that are under $100, but the really high-quality audio sound one costs a little under $300, I believe. So using that equipment, if enough people in the community have that, they can do little interviews of 2 to 5 minutes long, upload them, and that can be patched together for a local news program. So you can have community activists, if they have the equipment and know how to upload to a radio station site. So that would be in just finding out about what is the best equipment to buy and where to buy at the cheapest to do that, because local news is very expensive. But if the local activists had the equipment and expertise to just do little interviews from time to time that could be fed into the radio station and pieced together, that could make a very interesting local news show. Some might be more ambitious and want to do a 10 to 15 minute segment. Or something like that. I don't know. You know, it would seem to me that would be the best way that a local radio station or a radio station could do local news, utilizing community activists at a lower cost than trying to have people from the station go out to various parts of the community.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And at the same time, you know, it's the internet, using the internet is another way of doing that, because the average computer has a, although it's not a especially good quality, but just the
the multimedia player can record an interview, which can immediately be emailed back to the studio, which allows for putting together a local news program, which is basically what we're doing at this point. And it's easy when you're talking about the handheld using smartphones and handheld equipment that has internet access, wireless access.
It would be good to compare notes. You know, what equipment works, what's the quality like.
Yeah.
All those kind of things. That's right. I mean, it might be good to just have a line open, a phone line open, for people in the community to call in breaking news just over the phone.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And we use the Magic Jack for that and for our request line, which is, again, internet.
Well, there should be some place on the audio port where these little tricks are and techniques are talked about,
right,
so that this information can be shared.
May I say something?
Please.
On the grassroots radio listserv, a lot of people share ideas like that routinely. Oh, you know, somebody says, you know, what's the best camcorder? What's the best way to use this? There's a lot of discussion on there, and occasionally some of these technical questions are brought up on Pacifica Announce or AFPAC listserv, occasionally.
So the question that comes to my mind is how do we get AudioPort incorporated in that discussion, in that cycle?
You may not have to even put all the information on there. Like you say, there's the listserv. People can join. There are websites. Transom.org is a great website to give you information about audio and what equipment to buy. So even if you just had a link page on there, I think communication is more needed. Communicating between producers is more desirable.
This is Otis. Hi, Otis.
Streaming your meeting. And sitting here listening to the stuff on my audio board. This is what was. I don't really know what kind of thing in respect of automation. We don't really know how they automate. We don't know.
Yeah.
Do you think a survey, if we could put together a brief survey, can it be done in five, not more than 10 questions?
Well, one of the specific issues, and this is the thing that's great,
Can I, Otis, it's Chandra, hi. Got a question. Is there any way to put a survey on AudioPort so when somebody uploads a program, you can say, can you answer these questions? Because then you could capture the data, and it would be an easy-to-tabulate form.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, thank you.
Of course, you might get a lot of complaints that way, but, you know. Right, yeah.
Right.
Were you listening when people were talking about the idea of training? Can you answer that question?
Yeah, that's another.
But we need the tutorials just in terms of as a confidence builder, even when it's simple.
No, I think yeah.
Right.
You know, I personally, I'm trying to, the conversation in the past has been, when we have talked about national programming in Pacifica, is starting from scratch and producing national programming, which I think may not be the right way to go about national programming. I think that we should look more to what we already have and then promoting what we already have.
Mm-hmm.
And building national programming from that.
Mm-hmm.
Because people are not aware. I mean, when Sean Heitkamper became aware of some of the affiliate shows, he put a couple on KPFK because they're very good. So it's a kind of a test model. And at one of the GM conferences, Dwayne Bradley from Texas said, "Well, we need high-quality programming here." And I said, "Oh, okay." So that was what began the conversation about each of the stations putting links to samples of their strongest programming so that Dwayne wouldn't have to listen to KPFK 24 hours a day to find the really good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So... making it easy for and promoting the idea of strong affiliate programming that can be utilized across the network by other affiliates, but also by our five stations. It's, believe it or not, it's kind of a new idea. People haven't been thinking in those directions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's not.
Well, I'm glad to hear it.
Well, it's not like the general managers have known about it and rejected it. They really haven't known about it.
Well, Grace, I have to tell you that it's not a new idea. It's been discussed ad infinitum on the affiliate task force, and it's been presented at several PNB meetings about the availability of programs going in both directions. but we have not gotten any positive reception to it. It's only a new idea in that the station managers are now desperate because of, you know, what's happening, and they need to do something different.
At KPFT, we have been taking programs from other stations. We took Mind Talk for a while, and we take Sonali's Kahatkar's Uprising, I think for one reason why she has a synopsis of her weekly shows is because we'll take that. And, you know, she takes the best of the best, and we play it the following Tuesday, I think. And we take, I mean, we were the ones, I think the first ones other than WBAI to take, the physicist, Michio Kaku. So, I mean, we are considering and taking other shows, but we were actually kind of abused when we even suggested, you know, hey, you might want to, you know, take some of our programs, and kind of people kind of stuck their nose up at the idea. So I think we, because we're smaller, have been a little bit more resourceful and willing to take other people's, other stations' shows.
I think on an anecdotal basis, it's occurred, but as a network-wide concept, I would agree with Grace that it's if not new, it's newly received and newly perceived.
Well, Chandra, all of you, I think we have had the problem at Pacifica of frozen grids. That, in fact, I think that if I were to isolate any one problem, that's the biggest problem is frozen grids. And I have put intense pressure on the general managers to improve programming and have hit enormous resistance, but yet we're starting to, there's a slight thaw, and the future of Pacifica depends on programming improvement. It includes taking our best programming and utilizing it better. And not just from the five stations, but from the affiliate network. And that has to be done, because we don't have the money to invest in iffy national programming that may work, may not work, and that won't improve enough of the grid to make too much of a difference anyway. We have to utilize the best of what we have to its best efficiency, because we don't have the resources to take chances. And that idea, I'm in the process of writing programming policy to cut through the gridlock. I think there has been gridlock there, but there's also been a certain amount of willingness to share programming, which needs to be nurtured. So I think both KPFT has been looser about using programming from other stations. KPFK, I mean, our general manager is newer. He's been with us for about a year only, so he is also more fluid in terms of sharing programming, doing collaboration. KPFK is doing a lot of collaboration now with KPFA. So, but the thawing process has to be speeded up if we want to survive as a network and become stronger. Does that make sense?
It certainly does to me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. George and Deb, are you also there?
Yes. Listening.
So, first of all, Deb, let me apologize to you for not getting your last name right. I wondered
that's all right.
Shepto instead of Shepto.
No big deal.
I wanted to get some input from you guys and hear what you're thinking.
Well, I don't have much to input. I think there's been a lot of good thinking and good conversations here, and I would like to see some of this, especially cross-pollination, put into effect, but you've already, you know, put your finger on the problem, and we need to push a little harder, so. George?
I mean, what occurred to me was, how do you distinguish what you mean by good programs locally that could be promoted nationally? How do you avoid the biases of the particular GM, for instance, or maybe we just trust our GMs to have a sense of that.
I think that policy needs to be set with measurable criteria for evaluation. That's been missing. I'm going to be pushing for each station to upgrade their Arbitron reporting that they receive. They're going to have to pay double for that. I talked to the company that gives us our Arbitrons. Right now, the stations cannot pull out the performance of each show hour by hour on the grid. They can only get the performance, let's say, of the 7 to 8 a.m. slot Monday through Friday. They can't just pull out Monday from Tuesday from Wednesday. So it's not fine enough for our purposes. We're going to need to pay for the next level of Arbitron reporting. We need that because I believe that what we should be doing in terms of evaluating our programming is taking each show, looking at its Arbitrons as a 25% of an evaluation criteria. 25% should be Arbitrons, another 25% performance and fund drives and other fundraising, another 25% for production values, and another 25% for conformity to the mission. So looking at that evaluation, we would come up with a more precise way of evaluating shows, possibly even bringing it up to a numerical total. Because without that kind of matrix, we're not going to be able to move forward. If none of the programs are evaluated, how do we know what's good or what's not good? But there has to be some uniform criteria for evaluation. The GMs, I don't think there's been problems with having management do the evaluation alone, and there's been problems with having program councils do it alone. There's no easy, simple solution to this. A collaborative effort should be made to do it, but there need to be time limitations. So, for instance, a program council should not be able to slow down the process so it just becomes impossible to change programming. So if a program council wants to exist and be part of the evaluation process of improving programming with the looking toward improving programming in collaboration with management, they're going to have to accelerate their efforts and actually do the work in a timely fashion. Because that's what's happened. Sometimes managers have been really frustrated because the program council will stymie their changes. On the other hand, there have been problems with the management controlling the programming because at times in the past, management has placed programming on the air to bolster their political position, partly at least, not solely for the good of the improvement of programming and listenership. So you have a situation where everybody is not necessarily equally skilled or equally doesn't have the larger picture in mind when making decisions. So it's really, really, really difficult. And moving forward, but moving forward to improve programming is absolutely essential. So I think the only way to do it is to have some not only programming policy, which we have, but a certain set of criteria that are measurable and that can be applied to the situation.
let me say I'm delighted that you're going to see through it, that we all have this hour by hour. I think it's really the only way to do what you're saying. And I also think that the consideration of whether it's mission, how close to the mission it is something that sort of goes beyond the numerical rating, I think. Flying at KPFT was a kind of two-dimensional, and it could be made more dimensional if you want to, kind of evaluation where you had, on the one hand, how close to the mission it was one axis, and on another axis was how popular was the show. That would be the simplest possible. And when you start putting all the programs on something like that, you pretty clearly get a sense of which are the ones which are most effective in a kind of weighted sense, which is different from the simple weighting of numbers, of getting it a score and adding up the scores, which is not exactly what you really want to do in this case. So,
when you're dealing with literally hundreds of shows, you're looking at, let's say, WPFW's general manager or program director saying, oh, gee, I'd like to put in a really, really strong show that has to do with the environment, or that has to do with dealing with homelessness. And so the only way to really scan through to find an excellent show from another station and from an affiliate network is to have numerical criteria of some sort, because otherwise it could take 100 hours to find the show. So now there's always going to be problems with ratings, always. But in 5 minutes, somebody could find a show that fits that criteria and can have a pretty good assurance that it's going to be high quality if it has a high numerical rating. So it just, efficiency comes in here. When you have only a small station and everybody knows each other and everybody knows which are the best shows, that's one thing. But how the heck would I know what's the best show or what are the strongest shows at David Beaton's affiliate?
You're not going to be able to impose this kind of scale on the affiliate.
No. I mean, no. But if David Beaton had that kind of a rating system for all of his shows, then I could see in a second. You know, I could look at his, if he had it on his website or something like that. Theoretically speaking, we've rated this show. We've given it a 92. You know, or we've given this one has an 87 or whatever. I mean, I'd say, oh, okay. And then I could sample the highest-rated shows. There's, of course, going to be inaccuracies and injustices on a certain level, and yet we have to see, we have to judge what's most important here, efficiency or... Because how can you, as in the affiliate network, sample literally hundreds of shows to find one that's of good quality? Without sort of a sort of a system, you're in the dark.
Well, let me say that I was thinking more in terms of GMs looking at the show at the stations, looking at the shows that they've got, and deciding which ones to keep and which ones not to, rather than trying to do a search through the affiliates or even through the rest of the stations for shows they might want to put on. And I think there's some utility in having a multi-dimensional evaluation rather than a single number.
Okay, I'm not even proposing necessarily only a single number or anything like that, but I don't know what a system would be used. It's just if you look at a whole grid, there are how many hours in a week? 100? I don't know how many hours are in a week. 150 hours, 140 hours.
168.
Yeah. Okay, so let's say that each of those hours is unique. Ugh. can you look through, if you have, like, if all of the criteria for evaluation of those 168 unique shows is all written, complicated evaluations, it could take 3 hours just to read through the written evaluation. And by the time you get to 1.5 hours into that, you're so confused.
Grace, I wasn't suggesting that. The scheme we're using, actually, you can actually represent, in fact, three dimensions of the performance of the show. One is money raising, one is mission compatibility, and the other is popularity. All on a scatterplot graph where you can put 160 shows, and you see very, very clearly where they lie. So really what I'm suggesting is don't get locked into a particular scheme for evaluating before some of these other things are considered. I'd also suggest that you run this through the program committee of PNB before bringing it before the PNB.
Absolutely. And if you have already formulated a system that works, or if anyone out there has formulated a system that works, send it to me, because I don't have to reinvent the wheel. I'm not that interested in spending this whole weekend doing this. So
KPFA had a very highly functioning program council that did comprehensive evaluations and had very substantial criteria. I wasn't on it. I don't know what they are. I don't know if they fit what you're looking for, but I mean, you can certainly check with your allies there and see, if it could be used, if it's something that would be helpful to you.
Yeah, what I'm just trying to say is that if you're in an affiliate station in Wisconsin, and what you want to say, see, oh gee, what's a really strong Pacifica show, including the affiliates and or the five stations on, let's say, Native American issues or computer technology. So we have a computer show at KPFK, and there might be a computer show at each of the five networks. There are five shows. There might be some in the affiliate network. You might want to be able to see what the ratings are of those shows and easily pick the two strongest and not have to spend 5 hours listening, only 2 hours, or a half hour for each show you want to sample. So, that's why the criteria should be comprehensive enough to be fair, but streamlined enough to be efficient. Does that make sense? I'm not trying to say that I would want to have it be only one new number. That would be maybe too efficient and not fair enough. Might want to use a different matrix, like four numbers for each show. Would that make sense?
Yeah.
Or maybe we don't want numbers. That's two. Maybe we want to have smiley faces. Or gold stars. if numbers are threatening.
Well, some of the things are numbers, like how much money you raise per hour, or what you're doing per hour.
I think everybody gets my point.
May I ask a question?
Please, go ahead.
Have you talked with the chair of the KPFT Program Council, Sandy Wyman? Because, we are just, we have developed a fine evaluation system. We've also developed a fine grievance procedure. That's one question. The other question is, how do you handle music? Because, like, Zydeco music, per necessarily, if you look at it, be so valuable to the Pacifica mission, it may be more escape than educational, for example. However, some of these shows bring in extraordinarily, exponentially large amounts of money from those audiences.
I think that
you don't
music...
want to use music to use it as a as a means to censor news, like, well, we have to have so much music, we don't have time for news, for example.
Well, you know, I think that culture, music and culture and drama are specifically stated in the bylaws and the mission statement. They're not off mission in any way. I mean, we all know that music is brings cultural understanding by having a bridge between, creating bridges between one cultural orientation and another, just the way that food does. And it's not contrary to the Pacifica mission, which it addresses in radio broadcasting operations to engage in any activity that shall contribute to a lasting understanding between nations and between the individuals of all nations, blah blah blah. Not to denigrate the.
But how does that work with your number system?
Well. You know, some of this is obviously going to be subjective, depending upon the people who are evaluating it. I mean, if you look at the mission statement, it's broad enough to include music, drama, and nurturing the skills of people in the community to bring them into the station. What does it say here? I'm looking at the mission statement. Here we go. In radio broadcasting operations, to encourage and provide outlets for the creative skills and energies of the community, to conduct classes and workshops in the writing and producing of drama, to establish awards and scholarships for creative writing, to offer performance facilities to amateur instrumentalists, choral groups, orchestral groups, and music students, and to promote and aid other creative activities which will serve the cultural welfare of the community. So I don't know how you can, I mean, I didn't write the mission. Figure out how, I think the mission is broad enough to include cultural programming. Don't you? Isn't that why you have it at KPFT?
I just thought that perhaps, well, the other question was whether you'd gotten with Sandy Weinman, because you asked if anyone had developed a means of evaluating programs, and I just thought maybe that our system was more, a little bit more sophisticated or thorough than the four numbering system.
Yes, I did have a long conversation recently, a few weeks ago, with Sandy. I believe I asked him to send me the criteria you have together, put together, but I will ask him again. I also spoke with Ernesto at length a few weeks ago to get an idea. I do have to say that our program council efforts at KPFK have pretty much failed, even though a lot of work and effort has been put into them over a period of years. So I can't say I'm looking at this from the perspective of a station that has had success in this regard. I'm very optimistic about the efforts now happening at KPFT to improve programming. But I don't think that that model has been... it hasn't. It's not a proven model right now. It's a new evaluation system you have. Am I correct?
Say that at one.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a new. You're new.
Well, we've had a program council for about 4 years. It's been evolved. It was evolving pretty. Dramatically the first 2 years, and I was on it year before last, and in that year we developed the grievance procedure and the evaluation procedure, and last year they started implementing more heavily, and I think they made some significant changes last year.
The programming changes were made of the grid?
Yes.
Okay.
Made last year.
I can only judge, I mean, from the position of executive director, what I have to look at are the market share, arbitrons, the net income, and the membership. And none of the stations has seen marked improvement in any of those criteria. So, you know, our listenership, our arbitron graph over a period of 4 to 5 years has a scary relationship, a direct relationship to our net income and to our membership graphs. So I did not expect it to be so exactly parallel. And I don't see any model anywhere in Pacifica that has resulted in programming improvement enough to reverse the somewhat negative declining listenership, declining net income, and declining membership at KPFK or at KPFA or at KPFK at T or at WBAI or WPFW. So, no, I have to use the criteria that's in front of me to assess this. I don't understand. If you have a really functioning, fair, terrific program council that's making positive improvements in the programming, why isn't it showing up in improved market share? Unless I'm reading the arbitrons wrong, and that could be the case.
Well, I think it's of Arbitron, and Sandy Wyman understands it a lot better than I understand. It's, I mean, because there's maybe one person in, I don't know, what, 50,000 or something that is maybe Otis could probably explain this better. There are so few people that Arbitron is using to judge the market share that if I was called and asked to participate in Arbitron, it would make a huge difference. Just one person accidentally being chosen. I mean, Arbitron does, well, Dr. Bob Randall also explained how, in our last meeting, how statistically some of the information that Arbitron doesn't give you can make a huge difference in whether you might be making changes and they're not registering with them.
Yeah.
You know, we have another. If the relationship between the Arbitron numbers and the net income and the membership numbers and the fundraising, those are four criteria to look at.
Right.
If they were not agreeing, I would say, okay, they're not agreeing. We have to look at this differently. But they are agreeing. And, in fact, at KPFK, we have another criteria, and that's that we chart our web listenership,
right.
Web downloads,
right.
And our web downloads are directly correlate. It's the same relationship that to the Arbitrons. Our strong shows that are strong in our Arbitrons are strong in webcasts as well. So we have backup criteria that we're looking at. But, you know, I'm not trying to challenge. Right, and I'm looking at, I have to be look at simple criteria. I don't have the capability to be in Houston, go to your program council meetings, go to your LSB meetings, be at your station, and be listening to your station 24 hours a day to be able to have good judgment about it. And I'm accepting everything you're saying about the functionality of the program council. I just don't know. I just don't understand how come it's not showing improvement in your fund drive performance, in your membership numbers, unless I'm reading those wrong. I don't have them fine-tuned for KPFT, to tell you the truth. And
Chris, let me say something about that. We've only had hour-by-hour Arbitron figures for about 3 months, so none of the previous decisions have been based on that.
Well, yes, and I think you don't even have it now.
We did, actually. Nesto somehow made a deal with it, I thought.
Well, you know, you can get them from RRC on a sporadic basis by asking them, but actually paying for the more expensive package gets it for you all the time.
I think that's the right thing to do, for sure.
Yeah. No, I'm not trying to say I think that KPFT is a very functional station. But we have to face the fact that it needs to improve in fundraising and in listenership and in membership in order to move forward in this thinking economy, because we're going to have to push for much higher performance than we would have to if the economy was just coasting along at a prosperous level. We're going to be facing severe economic problems in the society at large. So the only way we're going to ride through that and survive is by improving our performance considerably. And that's going to mean changing, because our performance at our current trends is not does not have enough of an upside trend to ride in a healthy way in this economy, to keep going in this economy. We're going to have to improve significantly in order to just stay afloat, because we're going to see a downside just from the fact that more and more people are going to be laid off and are going to get worried about their spending. Does that make sense? I'm sorry, I'm concentrating on this and maybe hijacking this meeting a little bit too much.
No, I think you're doing wonderfully, and beginning to think that we had we were being abusive in that you've been on since 8:30, and actually our meeting is scheduled to be over at 10, and no, you're not hogging it at all. You're being very gracious, as typical of you, and very generous with your time.
Now, this is very valuable to me, because it allows me to understand the different viewpoints of the network, because I don't want to just be locked into a statistical analysis. I do want to understand the other aspects of the network, and it's interesting, very very interesting to me. Everything that's been suggested, especially by the affiliates, is important in my communication with Ursula and with John L. Mella and with Otis, because I'm another viewpoint in how we move AudioPort forward and how we better service the affiliates. And also to know that we shouldn't be trying to reinvent the wheel. So if whoever it was who mentioned the equipment, the place where we can find the best audio equipment, let's put that link up on AudioPort for everyone.
We don't need to reinvent that. And please email me with that link.
Okay. All right.
For instance, or anything else like that that would be helpful to the stations and the affiliates. And please, somebody from the program council at KPFT, send me the whatever you're using as your evaluation matrix for that station. I'll certainly look it over carefully.
I'll see if I can do that.
Okay.
Are there any other questions, comments, criticisms?
May I ask one other question? Well,
mm-hmm.
I hate to take up affiliate time with this, but I was wondering approximately how many FTEs we have at all the stations now. Can you say, or can anybody know that?
Yes, I can tell you that roughly. It's not going to be exact. At KPFA, we have about 40. At KPFK, I'd say between 21 and 24. At WBAI, I think it's in the around between 20 and 24, I'd say.
Mm-hmm.
At KPFT, I think you have 9. Am I correct?
I think that's about right. I think it's 7 full-time and about 4 or 5 part-time.
Okay. At WPFW, there are about 8 or 9 currently.
Thank you.
I don't have an exact figure, but, you know, that'll give you kind of an idea. The station with the most staff is KPFA. They have a lot of paid programmers in comparison to other stations.
Brian, at RFG, are you still on? And
I'm listening. Yes, I'm still here.
Do you have any questions or any comments that you want to make?
No, I appreciate your asking, but I don't have any particular comments. I guess, I do have one question. This is the first time in a couple of years that I've gotten been invited into the conference call. Am I going to be what is my status? Am I going to be a regular participant? I haven't contributed very much tonight.
Send me your email address, and I will make sure that you are on the list, because I'm trying to get more of the affiliate stations on the list and participating and coming on the calls. The fact
okay.
that you're on the call, even if you think you haven't made a major contribution, your presence is significant, and
okay.
We want to encourage that.
Okay, fair enough.
Okay.
And I will, do I have your email address?
If you got, it's on the GR.
Oh, okay, just send it, reply, that was from you, just reply. Sure,
yes.
I will do that.
Yes, okay. All right. If there are no other questions, then being a little after 11, then I want to thank, first of all, Grace for being so generous and so gracious. Sometimes I tell her she takes her name too seriously, but she has really been a breath of fresh air and brought the kind of vitality and the kind of competency that the foundation has apparently long needed and at this point in its history could not survive without. So I am ever grateful and ever singing her praises for anybody who hasn't noticed.
Thank you, Isha.
Number one. Number two, I want to thank all of the affiliates who came on and all of the task force members and guests, because without all of you, this task force cannot function and it cannot
revive itself and realize its potential. So I wholeheartedly thank you, and I look forward to hearing whatever you have to say over the course of the next month and attending the July meeting. And hopefully we'll be able to get enough agreement on what the who or what the guest or presentation will be for the July meeting, so we can get it out early enough to for folk to be motivated to attend our regular meeting, which is the second Thursday of each month. And that date is what, Teresa? Would you happen to have a calendar in hand?
Say in July is the 21st.
Okay. So the 21st of July.
I'm sorry. Second Thursday, July 9th.
Okay.
July 9th.
At 8 o'clock, and you will get reminders to that effect. And as I said, if we can get enough clarity about the presentation and or guest at the July meeting, then advance notice of that. So again, thank all of you for making this a successful meeting.
This is Dina. I just have to say that I'll be away on July 9th and won't be present. Please excuse
me. And this is Chandra. I will be away also. Please excuse me.
Uh-huh.
And I also want to say I thought this was a fabulous meeting, and I hope we continually have more affiliates represented on the calls. It really is helpful.
Well, do help us help to recruit. Okay. Thank you, everybody, and good night.
Thank you very much.
Good night.
And
good night.
Enjoyed
good night.
It.
Good night.
And John.
Thank
Thanks,
you.
Otis and John.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. We don't see you.